coming up on this AFC Championship edition of 3 and Out.
You have missed throws. You'll have some drop passes. You just keep firing.
On a very windy day, the Broncos overcame some drop balls and turned a turnover into points right when it counted the most.
We need a turnover. We need a turnover. We've had a turnover all game. I got the opportunity, and I capitalized.
Now they turn their attention to Tom Brady and the Patriots with injury concerns in the secondary.
And Chris Harris Jr. gets up a little gimpy.
Hold on to your shoes.
You won't see these anywhere on Sunday today. You won't see them at all.
3 and Out starts right now. Hello, and thank you for joining us for this week's 3 and Out presented by American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans. The NFL certainly knows drama, and what's better than Peyton Manning and Tom Brady meeting for the 17th time? We'll let that play out the rest of this week. We have plenty of other things to talk about, so let's get this thing started. It's time for First Down, and now we're joined by Andrew Mason. And Mace, let's talk about this Broncos offense. Had to settle for field goals early, had a few drop passes, but when they needed it the most in the fourth quarter, they came through with that touchdown drive.
Came through with a huge touchdown drive and got the ground game going on that drive, even though 3.2 yards per carry on 10 rushes on that possession isn't impressive. You have to understand that some of them, of course, were in goal line, short yardage situations. And also, the thing about the running game, unspectacular on Sunday, but just effective enough to remain a viable option. That said, though, the biggest thing of the drive, Benny Fowler, 31 yards, and it was key for him. He had a couple of consecutive drops in the first half, overcame those, had the big play, and a great pre-snap read by Peyton Manning on that play. And that's why Peyton Manning started the game. That's why he was in the game. And really, if you look back at what he did throughout, had a lot of accurate checks and calls. We all know about the play where he ducked and hit the deck, but wasn't touched and was able to make the 34-yard pass to Emmanuel Sanders. And if you take those seven drops out of the equation, if those drops are catches, Peyton is 28 for 37 and he throws for nearly 300 yards, and that's assuming no yardage after the catch, and his rating is 98. So really, if the receivers had done a better job catching the ball, he has a very good day statistically.
Yeah, definitely. The other thing that the Broncos offense didn't do, they didn't turn the ball over, even though they made a few other mistakes with the drop passes. Well, Emmanuel Sanders says the Broncos offense simply just needs to be themselves.
Sometimes we do make mistakes, and every team makes mistakes. Pittsburgh's made mistakes. Every team in the ball game will make a mistake, but we just got to stay true to ourselves and just get the job done. I know that a lot of people expect for us to go out and have a perfect game, but the way that we're winning, it's working.
It's no excuse for us dropping those balls, but I think the only thing we can really talk about now is, the win, and we'll work on that come next week because we can't drop passes against our next opponent.
It's time for Second Down, and now we're joined by Matt Boyer. And First Down, we talked about the offense. Second Down, let's talk about the defense, and particularly Chris Harris Jr. He suffered that shoulder injury week 17. Didn't seem like the bye week helped him that much because he was essentially playing with one arm against the Steelers.
Well, he started every game. I think Chris Harris Jr., everybody can see that he's probably one of the toughest guys on the team. He's been one that has been beating the drum as far as everybody's hurt, everybody's banged up, but everybody's got to play. I do think he's probably going to play in this game coming up against the Patriots, but it will be interesting to see in what sets he's going to be used, in what formations, what the Broncos decide to do with his abilities and that injury. I think we're going to learn a lot about Bradley Roby, though. I think Bradley Roby came in that Chargers game, played really, really well, had another strong game, of course, the forced fumble that really turned the tide for the Broncos in that second half. So I think that Bradley Roby is going to get his fair share of snaps, but I do think Chris Harris Jr. is going to be able to play. Just remember, this is a second team Pro Bowler that we're talking about, or a second team All-Pro, I should say, Pro Bowler as well. But I think that he is going to play. He will be effective, but I think they're going to have to monitor how he does throughout the game just because that is a pretty serious injury that he's got.
Yeah, he didn't really look like Chris Harris Jr. against the Steelers. He likes to get his hands on those wide receivers, give up a few plays, so he didn't really look like the Chris Harris Jr. we all know. But if going against the Pats, they're really going to need him.
I'm still not myself. I'm getting there. I just got to take it week to week, and hopefully I get back to 100% and be able to play how I want to play.
It came out fine. I don't think anything got any worse. You know, it's just been bothering him. His shoulder's been bothering him. And, you know, went out there and gutted it up and played, you know, with one arm in a lot of ways. But the battle for our team. So hopefully there's some improvement there this week just physically. I just saw him in a training room this morning. Attitude's great. Just beat up, you know. It's that time of year.
It's time for third down, and now we're joined by Ben Swanson. No sweater this week, but he's all football this week, right?
Yes, I've got my playoff beard going. Yes. You can kind of see that working. It might grow another millimeter or two. So
it looks beautiful.
I'm in the zone.
Yeah, you're in the zone. Okay, let's talk about facing Tom Brady, one of the quickest release in all of the NFL. And last week against the Chiefs, he looked like a surgeon out there just picking them apart.
Well, yeah. I mean, the Chiefs were without Justin Houston, save for 8 defensive snaps, but they couldn't get anything done even with Dee Ford or Tamba Hali. Brady averaged 2.2 seconds on his release, very fast, and it's because of those weapons that he has. Rob Gronkowski, obviously a big target for him. He just has to get it in the vicinity where only Gronk can get it, and usually he does. Julian Edelman back as a receiver. His quickness in the slot gives Brady another option where he doesn't have to wait too long. And frankly, a big decisive factor will be how the Broncos get pressure on Brady with those two guys in there for Brady. With the defensive line and the outside backers, if they can just make Brady go through another read, that gives them more time, and that could end up getting, even if not a sack, hurries, pressures, and then incomplete passes.
Yeah, Brady, definitely, he has his weapons back. That helps there, but also his experience. He'll be playing in his 31st playoff game, more than any other NFL player in NFL history. So that's a big factor there. And against the Chiefs, he was not sacked for just the second time this season, and his quick release is a big reason why.
Well, they're going to do what they think they have to do to win, you know, and they put the game in Tom's hands last week and threw the ball a lot, and it was coming out really, really fast. So, you know, you never know what you're going to face, but, you know, we know how great a player he is and got his weapons back intact, so that's a big challenge for our defense.
That's right. Get your hands up, get to him as fast as you can, or run to the ball and make tackles. So, you know, quarterbacks are trying to throw it fast unless they respect our rush, and as they should, but, you know, we just got to try to make plays different ways if they want to get rid of the ball fast.
It's time for fourth down, and we got plenty of your questions on Twitter. Thank you for that. So let's punt things over to Scott Ward and our social media department. But first, a quick word from American Financing.
Nothing's better than being at home. It's where your best moments happen. So make the right call to American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans. Their mortgage consultants are salary-based, so they're only focused on taking care of you. You can get pre-qualified in 10 minutes, and can close in as fast as 10 days. Call American Financing at 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000.
All right, guys, welcome back to the show. We'll jump right into the questions. First one is from Overstreet Jimmy, Bronco fan in Florida. Why does Peyton throw more dink and dunk passes than Brock? Jimmy thinks that if we do that, we lose to the Patriots.
Oh, I'm sorry, you asked me something? Well, dink and dunk, yeah, that's what Peyton Manning did, but also Brock Osweiler did a lot of that. Look at the games that he played in December, and he was taking the underneath stuff quite a bit. And both of them really, you know, they've tried to go deep. Peyton Manning tried some deep shots against the Steelers on Sunday. Osweiler tried to go deep from time to time, but neither really had a consistent deep game. I mean, it's Brock Osweiler may have the stronger arm at this point, but wasn't all that more accurate in getting the ball deep downfield than Peyton Manning was. So when you put that into the equation and you factor in the fact that Peyton Manning did a better job at the line of scrimmage, did a better job diagnosing the intent of the Steelers, that's why he was in the game, and that's probably why what's going to serve him well going forward. And if the Patriots can see the dink and dunk stuff, I think Peyton Manning will be content to take it all day and march downfield. Now then, what you have to do is do a better job in the red zone. That's the thing. The dink and dunk stuff doesn't always help you in the red zone. You need to be able to get some shots down the seam. That's what the Broncos have missed. That's what they need to find on Sunday.
All right. Next question is from Michael Ryan. He's wondering, now that the Pats have all their weapons back, do the Broncos have any difference in game planning for this weekend? Matt. For you.
I think Danny Amendola and Julian Edelman are going to be effective this week with Tom Brady. I think Brady makes anybody better at the wide receiver or tight end position. But those guys, specifically Amendola, 3 touchdowns. Edelman, 61 catches and 7 TDs. So you know that they love playing with Tom Brady. They've been effective all year long. But the other weapon that you've got to think about is Rob Gronkowski. The elite tight end in the league, I think that he's also going to be effective. And when you have those three weapons and Tom Brady, the focus has to be spread out a little bit more than if you just had, say, Rob Gronkowski, or if you just had Amendola and no Edelman. So I think the Broncos are going to need to really have their game plan set for these guys. But this is the best secondary in the NFL statistically throughout the regular season. So if you're going to have a group of players going up against these two wideouts, this is the group that you want in the Broncos.
All right. And you didn't say anything about me getting your name wrong. Are you just getting used to it? Anyway, next one is for Swanee. Last one from Daniel Gonzalez, always a big fan of the program. With Omar Bolden to IR, who takes his place on Sunday?
Thanks for the question, number one fan. We've missed you a lot. It's interesting. Coach Kubiak hasn't really said who they're going to bring up. It seems like it'll be a practice squad guy, a guy like maybe Torian Nixon or Ryan Murphy, 2 defensive backs. Chris Harris's injury kind of brings that into question, even though without Bolden, that's a safety issue. So they're looking at a couple guys. But frankly, that person is still going to be inactive on Sunday, most likely. So what we're really looking at is who's going to be the inactive guy from last week who gets the bump up to the active roster. That could be Shiloh Kao, who has experience in punt returns. That could be Lorenzo Doss, another rookie. So those two guys are possible additions to the active roster on Sunday who will be active as a part of the 46. That'll be the really interesting part with Omar Bolden being out.
Great questions, as always. Thanks for asking them. Enjoy the game on Sunday. Phil, back to you.
Thank you very much, Scott. That's going to do it for us. Thank you to Andrew Mason, Matt Boyer, Ben Swanson, and Austin Brink behind the camera. I'm Phil Milani, and that's been this week's 3 and Out, presented by American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans.